Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about that. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. Today the topic is going to be mind over matter, and that's going to be covered because my guest, Mike Margolis, who is a certified mental training expert, will be discussing how to get to know your inner champion and to start thinking like one. Mike specializes in helping people to overcome daily mental challenges by using emotional intelligence and mental training. Having worked extensively with professional and elite athletes for over three decades, Mike has helped thousands of people incorporate the mindset of a champion. Whether you are building a new team or helping your current team enhance performance, Mike actually has a program that will help you achieve the results that you desire. His presentations are both motivating and entertaining to boost each audience member to higher levels of performance. We are about to find out how Mike can help you and me as well start thinking like a champion. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Mike. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good today.
I'm feeling really good.
We had a little hailstorm here in Dallas, which is the first time I've had something like that in a while.
What has been crazy, hasn't it been? Everywhere.
It has absolutely everywhere. It's been crazy. But having just moved to the Dallas area, it's kind of different for me. You know, one day being almost 90, and then a hailstorm.
Yeah, that's the weather for you. It's unpredictable. So, anyway, I got a few questions to ask. How did you start yourself thinking like a champion? And what kind of experiences did you have in order to bring you to that place?
Well, Miriam, I was a failed athlete. I failed at every level.
I failed when I was in high school in three different sports.
I quit them all.
Even though I was a good athlete.
I went to college. And decided I wanted to play football. Which my folks had never let me do when I was in high school. And I made the team. And I was a second string wide receiver. And I quit because I didn't think I was good enough. I transferred schools, and when I told the coach that I was leaving,
he told me, are you crazy?
You're my number one wide receiver the next year. And I didn't understand that the guy ahead of me was going into the NFL.
When I got up to the other school, I had to take up soccer and played college soccer and played a little bit professionally.
But when I went to do my master's degree, the first person I met, when I told him basically the same story, he started to laugh at me. And he said, don't you understand? These are just skills. They're nothing you were born with. They're just developed, and you can do them now. His name was Bruce Ogilvie, and he's credited as being the father of modern sports psychology.
Taken into the dark side, you might say. Right. I understand. If you don't mind me asking, why didn't your parents allow you to play football? Did they think it wasn't safe, or what? What was the issue?
Let's just say that nice boys of my ethnic religious background didn't play football.
Baseball was almost okay because at that time there was this guy named Sandy Koufax that played baseball.
Mm-hmm. but football wasn't, you know, kind of the thing to do. And when I got to college, that changed because I didn't need their signature anymore.
I hear you. Okay.
But I started working with elite athletes when a week after I had that conversation with them, and have been doing so ever since.
So that's how you just became. That's how you started to see that you could achieve anything because you were seeing that you could.
Well, I understood as I went through my master's program and working with these elite athletes that you are in control of your own thoughts. And that affects your performance. And I went on to do my doctoral work. And I've been working with athletes and business people for the last 35 plus years.
Okay. How is it you help them overcome their limited thinking? Because we have 101 reasons or more as to why we think we're not good enough or smart enough or worthy enough to do something that we really want to do. And this is what gets people into a lot of trouble, or they never achieve their dreams as a result of that. So you obviously not only mastered it yourself, but you're teaching others how to master it as well.
The first step is in any of this is always awareness. The idea that we have these limitations that have been built up through the way we were raised, through our teachers, our family, and experiences, most of us are not aware of some of these root causes.
And consequently,
we don't even know where to start to change them. We just know that we're not succeeding.
Right.
And maybe we blame something else. But we're not really aware of what's going on. So I teach people to start with to become more aware of their thoughts and their feelings, and then how to apply changing those thoughts to becoming successful.
Very, very important. Otherwise, nothing will end up working out for these people if they never learn how to control their thoughts, like you said.
You know, that's absolutely the biggest thing. I mean, you know, one of the things I do, and this is a great visual for radio, of course, but one of the things I do is I show people how even a negative thought affects their strength. And so if people in the audience imagine holding their strong arm out at their side and like we were in an office to do a muscle test where somebody's pushing down on your strong arm and just seeing how much resistance you can give. And then come back a second later and do it again. But this time ask them to think about something that's very embarrassing. And what they'll see is that arm goes, you press it, you know, where I can take my hand and put a lot of pressure on that arm the first time, I can basically push their arm down with two fingers the next time. Because they're thinking about something that's embarrassing or something that has made them unsuccessful in life, and that has a physical outcome and makes them weaker. And that's the same thing that happens when you're addressing something, when you're working on something. When you're having these negative thoughts, they are going to affect your performance both from a physical side and also from an emotional side.
Miriam?
Hello? I don't know, to keep talking or to just sit here and wait. So I guess I'll keep talking until you come back on. The idea that we can control our thoughts, which really does lead to our emotions. You know, in the example that I just gave with regard to somebody, their strength as related to their arm and thinking about something embarrassing. The idea that people don't recognize how those thoughts really do affect everything that they do. People are not emotional because they're emotional. They're emotional because of their thoughts. When somebody is going through a period of sadness, it's because their thoughts are sad. Not because something else is happening. Now, maybe they're having sad thoughts because of what's happening around them. But if they change the way they think about those things, they can control how they feel emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So you have coached a lot of business owners as well as athletes. Is that correct?
Yes. I've done some executive coaching. We work in a program right now where we have a mental toughness program for sales managers. Because the same thing that applies to an elite athlete applies to a business executive or manager or even a line worker. We've got a program coming up with a major manufacturing company where we're going to start working with not just their management, but with the people that are on the line doing the manufacturing. Because it helps them with their performance and it makes the company more effective and more profitable.
Okay, great. Can you tell us a little more about this program?
Well, we have a program basically for mental toughness in the workplace. We're in partnership with another company where we do online training for them. You know, they're taking our materials. We created the program, and they have the process to deliver it online to people. And then I give them individual feedback. The people that are taking these courses, so they'll watch a video or they'll read something, and then they have to answer some questions, and then I give them direct feedback on their answers. And so sometimes they have to go back and reread the material or rewatch the video, or sometimes I say, you know, that was a great job. How do you apply that to this other kind of situation? So we're teaching them real mental skills to be successful in different areas of their life.
That's great. That's great. I mean, everybody really needs to learn those skills no matter what they do, whether they're a business owner or not, or an athlete or not, because whatever people do, if they have these limiting thoughts, they're never going to do their best because they believe that, again, they're just not good enough.
The difference between success and failure is really between your ear. You know, if you work for a high-tech company and you're surrounded by people that are really bright, the difference between having that corner office and just doing programming for the rest of your life is how you think about yourself and how you succeed.
Yes, very true. And I also want to say something as well. If you know what, it's very easy if you're proud of an accomplishment that you've made, and you're all of a sudden surrounded by people who you perceive have done better than you, then you're going to start feeling bad about yourself. I mean, unfortunately, comparison is what a lot of people do, and it's a very harmful thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that you're right on that. That if you make that comparison, if you're constantly measuring yourself, saying, "Well, I'm not as good as they are," then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
But we also know from the research, both in business and in sports, that if you surround yourself with successful people, you're going to become more successful.
Right.
And one of the problems, especially with solopreneurs, is that they associate themselves with other people that are not yet successful.
Okay.
And they stay stagnant because they're with the wrong people.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I've been there. I know.
And it's kind of a different mentality, and it's kind of a hard thing for people to grasp. I still haven't quite grasped it myself in terms of action, but I've done a little bit of it. You know, there's a statement, and I don't remember if it was somebody like Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar, but a major motivational author and speaker said, "We are the sum total of the five closest people to us." So being around people that are not successful, all you hear all day are stories of failure. When you're around successful people, you hear about all the great things they're doing. And if you have the mindset and you understand that it's a choice for yourself, then you start adopting things that they do rather than the people who have failed.
And we can look at
sports teams, and you see the same kind of thing. You have a really good athlete playing for a bad team, and they don't do well. You know, their level of performance goes down. You have an average good athlete, and they're playing around great players, and their level of performance comes up.
Yeah.
And it's no different in the business world.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I've even heard that.
It's a hard.
Go ahead.
It's a hard thing for people to do.
No, it is. Absolutely. It's very hard.
You know, because in theory, what it means that if your five best friends are scraping by, there are people that suggest that you get new friends.
Sure. And you see it for yourself as well.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that I've been changing over the last few years. And I have some good friends that I don't really talk to very much because they're in that same rut, and I had to make a choice. And that's one of the reasons that I moved to Dallas. And it's one of the reasons that I don't hang out with some of those other people. And they were great friends and good people. But they just didn't get it, and I found myself going down their path rather than a path towards greatness.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable. And the thing is, you need that light bulb moment. just basically showing you, okay, you know, the reason you're not doing so well is because you're not inspired by the right people. You're not inspired at all. So once you see it, then you know it's time to make a change, because then you're going to realize, okay, you know what, my success is more important to me than hanging around these people who don't seem to know what they really want, or they're going in a hunt.
Well, a lot of those people know what they want. They just don't know how to get there. And so they're going down a path, and you start following them, and it's not productive. You know, you start networking with people that don't know how to network. You start doing, you follow them about how they do social media, and all they're doing is, you know, taking pictures of the food that they eat every day. You know, they're talking about those kinds of things, and they're expecting people to start following them because of that. And, you know, they really have to adopt different strategies to be with people that do get it. You know, one of the most important things that people need to understand is what their purpose is.
And that is something that I think a lot of people haven't figured out. And that's where things get a little rocky for them. Okay, what is my purpose? But that's the time to really reflect. And you know what? That is also a time not to pressure yourself into forcing yourself to find it. Just let it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I find in working with athletes and with business people is, you know, the young athletes will say, I play the sport because it's fun. And fun has to be part of it. But there has to be something else. And then they say they want to go to the Olympics, or they want to become a professional. And fun isn't going to drive there.
No.
So,
no,
and,
that's
and
right.
With business people, so, and with business people, they say, well, it's the money. But the truth is, it's not the money.
No.
Perhaps it's what you can do with the money.
Or you could be into something that is making you a lot of money, but you're miserable. You don't feel right. So what good is that?
Absolutely. And money, we know from research, isn't a big driver. It's, you know, the underlying cause might be, I want to provide for my family. I want to be able to travel the world.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. But it's not the green stuff. It's not the money. And we know from the research that when we just pay people more without rewarding their behaviors, we don't see a real uptake in production.
That's true. That's absolutely
true. So you have to understand that why.
Yeah, because that's what's going to give you the purpose, the drive, the passion, and all that. And once you have all that, then you're going to be more unstoppable. Then you're going to say, oh, this is right. I can do this. I will do this. You know, and then everything falls into place. And,
yes.
You know, this another thing I want to bring up. Another thing I want to bring up is what...
What's that? I lost you. You blanked out for a second. Sorry.
Okay, it's fine. It's no problem. You gotta love technology. Anyway, I was gonna say that there's a lot of people out there that quote unquote seem like they've got the world. You know, they're good looking and they're smart and they're making a lot of money. And they seem to enjoy what they're doing, but the reality is none of that, or there's something that's missing in their lives, and they're miserable. So it's amazing how on the outside it may appear like that they've got everything going for them, where in reality they're also failing. Like they're feeling very empty. They're feeling not so happy. They're even feeling worthless. So you come across a lot of people like that.
You know, I come across people I work with people that are normal, that want to become exceptional. I don't work with people that are depressed, that they have mental health issues, that they don't have at least a little bit of the drive to be successful. The tools that we give them here at Mental Training Incorporated and the things that I do are really tools to make people that you have to use the tools, right?
Absolutely.
And so I can go ahead and teach these tools to everybody. But those people aren't going to be successful are the ones that say, you know what? Okay, I get that, but that's not really my thing. I'm going to go in a different direction because I know that I'm right. And they stay stagnant. They don't move anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. And like I said, a lot of people on the outside seem like they're doing great, but in reality, they're not. So, you know, it just also shows you that what seems on the outside isn't always true. They may look like they're successful. They may look like that they've got everything, but they really don't, because there's something missing, and this is a thing. So now I'm going to ask, are you aware of a lot of people that are known, like famous people that are missing that major piece from their lives? Like, have you helped
people? I've worked with a lot of people that, even though they were an elite athlete, they were driven to get to that next level. So even there, whether they were, you know, I've worked with, Olympians. And they're, you know, they wanted to go for that gold medal or that kind of thing. And they were missing some of these steps. Now, they were driven, and they were pretty, most of them were pretty happy because that's what they wanted to achieve. But they ended up being even happier, whether they reached their goal or not, because they started looking at themselves a little bit differently and incorporating these practices into their daily life.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Our ultimate goal, of course, is to help people achieve everything in their dreams.
Yeah.
That's not always possible. Because
you got to be realistic. You have to be realistic and find a plan to really
90 seconds.
Really realistically go after that.
Well, we help them create a roadmap. So that they can measure where they're going, so they can see the direction. You know, I've worked with athletes in the past that said, you know, I want to win an Olympic gold medal. And I asked them, so how many days a week do you practice? How many hours a week do you put in? And they say, well, you know, I work out 3 or 4 hours a week. Well, an Olympic athlete works out 4 to 8 hours a day. So there's a real disconnect between achieving what you want to achieve and what your behavior is. And the same thing happens in the business world. You can say you want to be a millionaire, but if you're not doing the things on a daily basis to help you achieve that, you're never going to get there. Unless, of course, your folks were rich.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, so, you know what? We actually have a few more seconds left, so I apologize. We're almost out of time. Can you quickly tell everyone how they can reach you?
They can reach me through my speaker website, which is Mike Margolis. margoles.com. And also through Mental Training Incorporated out of Dallas, Texas. And my regular website is mental-game.com.
All right. Well, I'm going to have a blog post ready after this podcast, and I'm going to have it archived in there, and I'm going to have all of those links in there. Thank you so much, Mike. You were an absolute pleasure. You provided a lot of amazing, insightful information. Thank you, and it was a real pleasure. And everyone, you have a fantastic day and have a fantastic week. Bye for now, and talk to you then.